I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and this is Curious Mix. Listen in as we meet the people and explore the places and programs celebrating the arts and culture in our communities. Keep your ears open for these sounds and the stories behind them. Indianapolis singer-songwriter Josh Kaufman is known to music fans across the country as the winner of the sixth season of the TV talent show The Voice. And since 2014, he has toured and recorded, starred in a Broadway musical, headlined the Indie Jazz Fest, and hosted the ISO's Yuletide Celebration. He's also a husband and a father of five kids. He's working on two new albums, so I invited him to stop by our studios to talk about and play some of his new music for us. We started our conversation with a bit of a catch-up on how he got to be where he is today.
My mom was very musical. She majored in music in college and was a voice major and ended up being a music teacher. And so she would, when I was like 4 years old, she would write songs for me and I'd sing them in church and she'd kind of put me up on the upright piano and play. And yeah, so that was kind of where I first started becoming immersed in music. I always did music. I started writing in high school. And so it was something that was always a part of what I was doing. But then I definitely considered a lot of other routes as far as my life was going. And then I met my wife and we got married and started having kids. And so I started thinking, well, is being a musician the responsible route for me to go, and what other ways could I go? I ended up going to grad school for philosophy again and thinking maybe I would try academia, and ended up not continuing on with that after I went through a master's program. Maybe overthought my way through a lot of different paths, but that's kind of just how I am. And ultimately came to the point where I just sort of realized that regardless of what road I went down, I couldn't really not be playing music. It just, I wasn't satisfied if I wasn't doing that.
Turn down the lights. Turn down the bed. Turn down these voices inside.
Yes, sort of on a just last minute like whim. Like I saw it online and saw that the auditions were going to be in St. Louis and just thought, well, I'll give this a shot. And obviously it went pretty well.
The winner of The Voice is Josh Kaufman. Wins it.
Do you think being older and more experienced and having had these other degrees and a family, by the time you won, you were able to make better career choices?
Yeah, I think so to some extent. I mean, I definitely think the process of it, of going through the whole show, it helped being older and more experienced. I was able to just kind of focus on what I was doing, and there was some like a lot of thought that went into it, and strategic, being like, well, what song, not just what do I like, but what song is going to like resonate with people, you know, and kind of thinking through those things.
And you've made some kind of big changes too in the management of your career.
I started out, I got off this big show, so I think, okay, well, I've got to have these as big of people in place to help me out as possible. So I signed with a management company out of LA that was working with some bigger name people. Not huge. They weren't a huge management company, but they definitely like had some known people on their roster. And I was actually, even through The Voice, I was working with a friend of mine who was kind of helping me. We went to college together and he had some background in doing a lot of like marketing stuff. So he was helping me with some of what I was doing at the time. And then afterwards, he was kind of helping me manage things. And as things went on for the next year or two after that, I kind of just like, the more I did things, the more I realized the people I really liked working with and when I felt like things were working the best was when I wasn't dealing with those people. It was when I was dealing with people that I knew and who I knew I could trust and I knew they were 100%.
Well, it also seems like after you made that decision and you kind of pulled it back into the people you know and you trust, you really honed back in on the magnificence of your voice and the different things that you can do with it and the way you can interpret that. It sounds like this new album is going to be that way too.
Yeah, I don't know. I got, when I first won The Voice, there was a lot of like, okay, I've got to put out this single or album or EP or whatever that's going to like really connect with everybody, and it's got to be this like really, you know, like pop music, like that's what I have to make. And there's definitely a lot of pop music that I love, but there's a lot that I don't as well. musically, what I really am more naturally inclined to do is just go down a lot of different paths and experiment with different things. And this next thing I'm going to be putting out in the summer, I went to high school in like the early 90s, and that was kind of like late 80s, early 90s was a lot of the music that kind of opened my eyes to music and like, you know, made me excited about learning about music and becoming a musician. And so a lot of this album is rooted in the kind of soul, funk, R&B, and doing things to modernize them as well. But a lot of more electronic sounds. How I'm going to end up performing them live is probably going to be a lot different. All right, so this is kind of just a fun song. There's nothing introspective or really like thought-provoking about it, just kind of a having fun sort of like funk sort of tune. It's actually there's a lot of production on the recording. There's a little bit of Stevie Wonder there, a little bit of Michael Jackson there. It's called If I Ran the Zoo.
Nobody worked that 9 to 5. Lockdown living like 8 to 7. Just holding on, keeping that dream alive. The devil done paved this road to heaven. And we might walk that road just to discover there ain't no rainbow pile of gold. So come on, my sisters and my brothers. Don't gotta do what we're told. Don't gotta do what we're told. No. If I went to the zoo, I know what I'd do. I'd throw open all the cages. Let the people dance, making sweet romance. I'd take those chains. Trying to be Superman, just wanna get loose. LA, London, Amsterdam. Nobody got no master plan. You be you, I'll be who I am. 'Cause we might walk that road just to discover there ain't no rainbow pile of gold. So come on, my sisters and my brothers, yeah, yeah. Don't gotta do what we're told. Don't gotta do what we're told. No. If I went to the zoo, I know what I'd do. I'd throw open all the cages. Let the people dance, making sweet romance. I'd take those chains and break them. If I
Do you watch The Voice?
I don't. Part of it is just that, like, I have all of this stuff that I'm trying to do, and I have 5 kids, and I'm trying to like be involved in their lives. So watching The Voice just seems like the last thing I have time for. But like I said, I mean, I think they do such a great job of what they do. The season after mine, I felt like, okay, I need to watch this and kind of stay involved. And I was just like, I can't do this. I don't have time for this.
Are any of your children musically inclined?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And they're just getting – like my oldest just turned 10. So they're kind of just getting to the point where we'll see how into it and how serious that is. But they definitely have obvious ability, good, you know, good pitch and rhythm that's just natural. My son, who just turned 8, is telling me he wants to play drums. So my rule is, though, that he has to start with piano and he play drums after.
Obviously, people get a lot out of your music, but what do you get out of your music?
I'm naturally kind of introverted and internalize things, and so music for sure is a way of like getting some of those things out that it wouldn't normally come out. I love to write too. I love to write ideas. I mean, obviously being a philosophy major, I like to like you know, I enjoy writing an essay about something I'm thinking about. But the thing about music and art is that like I always feel like that's the way to say those things that I can't write an essay about. You know, if I could, then I might as well just write the essay. But I think that music kind of, like I said, at its best is, and art in general is that like, it has that transcendence that, you know, you connect to it on this level that you can't always put words to, and hopefully you can't, because I feel like it's a deeper, it's somewhere else, it's this other thing that you need that's a part of life and maybe explains, or I guess explains in quotes, a part of your life and your experience that is this other place, this other way of seeing things.
Josh is working on 2 albums. The second one will be all original music, some songs that he's just never recorded before, and some that are brand new, like this one called Lie to Me.
After you kiss me goodnight, after you turn out the light, lie to me. If I should let down my guard, give you a piece of my heart, lie to me. Lie to me. Tell me you love me, and I said you for me. Don't you know that I believe there's so much you're willing to do, baby? Why can't you just lie to me? I'm child, and sometimes, oh, oh yeah, the pain of the never and nothing is all I can feel. Oh, oh, won't you just, darling, lie to me? Tell me you. So much you're willing to
If you are a fan of science fiction fantasy films or Hoosier Blues, well, you're in luck because this week we are going to double dip in our chat with Matt. That's Matthew Soucy. He hosts Film Sociology on WFYI HD2 and The Blues House Party on 90.1 Saturday nights at 8. He's here in studio with me. And Matt, we're not just going to talk about movies. We're going to talk about music.
Yes.
But we are going to start with the movie because it's from Steven Spielberg.
Yes, it's been 4 months since our last Spielberg film. That, of yep. course, is The Post. This is Ready Player One, based on a very popular sci-fi fantasy story. It's set about 30 years in the future in Columbus, Ohio. It's desolate but futuristic at the same time. And, of course, alternate universes, or symbolism for social media, have taken over. So there's kind of this virtual gaming world where you can live out your avatar, and the eccentric trillionaire, who's not based on anybody walking the earth today, has died, and he has left a scavenger hunt, and the prize is control of this multi-trillion corporation, million-dollar corporation. So it sounds a little bit like Tron and The Last Starfighter and a little bit of Willy Wonka with really, really cool visuals. And the eccentric trillionaire, he grew up in the 80s. So there's wall-to-wall 80s references. There's Van Halen songs and references to Donkey Kong and even going back to, yes, the Atari days. Old critics like myself sometimes complain that a lot of action movies look like video games. This one is allowed to look like a video game because it is a video game type story. There's a chase scene early on where you have to, claiming this prize as you drive through New York City, and two of your biggest opponents besides the other drivers are King Kong and Godzilla. So it's one of those. It is visually impressive, but has the spirit of those kind of sci-fi teen films from the 80s. Films like My Science Project, Real Genius, Weird Science to a certain degree, The Last Starfighter, as I've mentioned, and Tron even. It's a lot of fun. So I think this is one of his lighter films, obviously, compared to the heavy drama of The Post.
Right, and that's the thing. I think people are wondering, which Steven Spielberg is it going to be when yes. when we see it's a movie from him? And this one sounds like it's almost maybe a mixture of several. It's got that big Jurassic Park kind of thing, that weird Close Encounters kind of thing.
Yeah, and there's a rival corporation that, of course, that if they win, they get to take over everything in this kind of dystopian world where everybody's a bubble dealing with their own virtual avatar. Could be Facebook, could be Twitter. I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
Who would want to see this movie?
I think anybody that likes a good film. Spielberg is still a fine, fine filmmaker. And this is it lightweight? Yeah, but there's a little, you get a little social commentary, as I've alluded to a couple of times. Mark Rylance is in it. He plays the eccentric trillionaire. Ben Mendelsohn, who's a great Australian, that guy, he plays the smarmy villain. He's straight out of the 80s, kind of prep smarm D-bag. I got away with saying that. But but no, if you like those kind of underdog teen movies of the 80s, this is right up your alley, but with way, way better visuals.
My name's Wade Watts. My dad picked that name because it sounded like a superhero's alter ego, like Peter Parker or Bruce Banner. But he died when I was a kid. My mom too. And I ended up here. Sitting here in my tiny corner of nowhere. There's nowhere left to go. Nowhere. Except the oasis. A whole virtual universe. Let me take you on a trip around the world and back. People come to the Oasis for all the things they can do. But they stay because of all the things they can be.
Can you feel this?
Yeah. It's the only place that feels like I mean anything. The Oasis was the brainchild of James Halliday.
Hello. If you're watching this, I'm dead. I created a hidden object, an Easter egg. The first person to find the egg will inherit $500 billion and total control of the Oasis itself.
Okay, let's move on to the music because it includes someone we're very familiar with here on WFYI. He's a fan of WFYI. We've featured him on our small studio sessions. Mm-hmm. It's Tad Robinson.
Right. This is a group called the Rockwell Avenue Blues Band. The album is called Back to Chicago on Delmark Records, which is which was a label that Tad used to be on many, many moons ago. But it's not a super group, but it's really heavy hitters all working together.
Yeah. Who are they? Where are they from?
Well, you have Tad Robinson on vocals, and he, of course, is doing some harmonica.
I need some sunshine. Ain't nothing to explain. I need some sunshine. Nothing to explain.
Steve Froin, also doing vocals and guitar. So he's kind of a guitar player. He's done session work. He's done stuff as a band leader. He's played with greats like Sonny Land Slim on vocals and piano and organ as a gentleman named Ken Sadak, who used to live in Chicago. He fronted the rock band Big Shoulders. He also played behind Johnny Winter and Lonnie Brooks. And then you have Harlan Turson on the bass and Marty Bender on the drums. And they're a metronome. I mean, they're just solid, solid tight. And the vocals are done by Tad, Steve, and Ken. So you get a little bit of blues, a little bit of soul, especially with Tad, and a little bit of, I like to call it Sunday morning mixed in with your Saturday night. So it's a really, really nice mix of music by guys who have known each other for a long, long time for this reunion session.
Original songs, covers,
mostly originals. In fact, it's a mixture actually. So yeah, so there's some. In fact, one of the songs that Tad does on here is "Blues for Hard Times," which he originally recorded with the Blue Side, the kind of local supergroup with Rob Dixon and Gordon Bonham and the wonderful Cynthia Lane, who I still miss to this day.
Yeah, she was a powerhouse in this city for sure. And I'm glad you mentioned that Tad does bring the harmonica out with him. I mean, we love his singing,
course.
But he just can't go anywhere without that harmonica.
Triple threat. I mean, singing and harmonica and songwriting. So glad to have him as one of Indiana's own.
All right. So we've given you a couple of choices. You can go see Steven Spielberg or support the local Hoosiers.
We'll see his
maybe
film.
Both.
I would love for him to make a cameo a la Hitchcock, but not in this one.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Just ahead on Curious Mix, talking about the birds and the bees with the flowers.
Crouching down on the knee to insert a Q-tip into one freckled foxglove bell after another, without any clue as to what I'm doing, which, come to think of it, is always true the first time with sex.
And life and music with our elders.
Charles, I've got some James Brown for you. I feel good.
I like that friend.
Do you know how that song goes?
I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and you're listening to Curious Mix. Andy D and Anna Vision are Indianapolis-based performers who focused much of their early careers touring the U.S. and the world. They're also husband and wife. Now their focus is supporting and building the arts scene locally. This week's episode of Making It, WFYI's Melissa Davis talks with Andy D about the inspiration behind the couple's past, present, and future.
My name is Andy D, and I am making raw, enthusiastic, educational, smart, but also kind of dumb party music.
Now I can dance, 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 girl, I can dance. Now I can dance, 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 girl, take a chance.
I've always looked to music to either make me laugh, dance, or cry, and I just decided that maybe laughing and dancing are kind of the things that I could give to other people and produce the music that makes me do those two things that doesn't exist yet in the world.
We'll show you the studio space. That's kind of our living space and studio and utility space.
Yes, I mean, working down here every day, basically.
Place factors into my art. In every single way, where I make music, where I write music, where I record music, kind of sets the scene for what that music's going to be. And then when I express that live at a show, when I perform that part of my art, it's entirely dependent on what I'm doing, what my wife's doing on stage with me, and what the audience is doing in response to what I'm doing. It's an interplay. You know, when I dance, I'm interacting with the space around me. I'm interacting with the people around me. They're interacting with that space and with me. And it's completely integral to what I'm doing. What makes me keep going with my art is I don't have a choice. I may take a break from writing and releasing the music, but it's always there. If I'm doing something with a group like Musical Family Tree around town, it's still informed by the art that I've done and the art that I have yet to do, and it's always with me.
Well, we're going to run through a song called Teddy Roosevelt.
We don't even mic it. We just practice,
yeah,
like hairbrush style.
What we have coming up is a child. I'm going to be a father, and so we aren't doing too many shows these days, but I am looking forward to raising a musical child. And I've heard from a lot of friends that have had children and are musicians that as soon as the baby is born and you're in the process of raising them, the music comes flooding out of you, and inspiration compounds on inspiration. So I look forward to making a lot of music in a lot of different ways in the coming years. So, yeah, I'll always be working on music. I'll always be working to make the music community here in Indianapolis better and hopefully raise a good person.
Andy D has joined the Musical Family Tree board as the chairman of their education committee. He's leading their Smarter Scene series, which works to empower Indiana musicians and our music scene with live programs.
I know when I did it, I did have to reinvent the wheel. I just kind of muddled along and probably figured out a lot of stuff later than I should have to make a go at it professionally. So I'm just trying to save other artists from having to trod that same kind of, you know, lonely path, and just make it easier for folks.
That's Making It, reported and produced by Melissa Davis. How can a poem inspire a visual artist? Like this. Here's Curious Mix contributor Terry Border.
Okay, this is a poem by Jeffrey Harrison from his book Into Daylight from Tupelo Press. It's called Cross-Fertilization. It's come to this. I'm helping flowers have sex, crouching down on the knee to insert a Q-tip into one freckled foxglove bell after another, without any clue as to what I'm doing, which, come to think of it, is always true the first time with sex. And soon, Randy Newman's early song, Maybe I'm Doing It Wrong, is running through my head as I fumble and probe, golden pollen tumbling off the swab. I transported these foxgloves from upstate New York, where they grow wild, to our backyard in Massachusetts, and I want them to multiply. But the bumblebees, their main pollinators, haven't found them, and I'm not waiting around. The only diagram I found online portrayed a flower in cross-section, the stamens extending their loaded anthers toward the flared opening. But the text explained the female sexual organs are hidden. Of course they are. Which leaves me in the dark, transported back to a state of awkward, if ardent, unenlightenment, a complete beginner, figuring it out as I go along. Giggling a little and humming an old song, as I stick the Q-tip into another flower, as if to light the pilot of a gas stove with a kitchen match, leaning in to listen for the small, quick gasp that comes when the flame makes contact with the source.
Dare I ask what this poem inspired in you after you read it?
Well, you know, I can't. Well, spring is coming, so that was part of it. I'm not sure what inspires me, just the respect from him, kind of the sneaky comparison of fertilizing a flower and maybe something a little bit more risque. You know, he's kind of explaining and describing one thing, and your mind is going to another place. And I think that makes me laugh.
That's Terry Border. He'll be back again next week with another poem to take your mind to another place. Another regular contributor is Kyle Long, the host of Cultural Manifesto. Today he shares the five favorite songs of a musician who keeps the beat for the local band Bye Bye.
I'm Kyle Long from Cultural Manifesto. I'm here with Paul Simmons, drummer for Bye Bye. Bye Bye has an excellent new record out titled Metamorphosize. You can go online and purchase a copy at byebyemusic.com. That's byebyemusic.com. Paul, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Could you give us like a quick sketch of what Bye Bye sounds like musically?
I think that we have like a really interesting blend of soul and upbeat kind of funk and rock mixed together. We pull from influences like Sly and the Family Stone and Talking Heads and Brian Wilson, and we really have a lot of harmonies in our music. And so there's you know, some modern bands like Tame Impala, I think, is something that they inspire us to, an LCD Sound System. So I think that people will hear a lot and hopefully enjoy that we kind of mash these all together in a weird way. It's been happening.
Come on. Come on. And you have five favorite tunes you're going to share with us today, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What's your first track?
So the first one, I would definitely say on the LCD Sound System tip, would like to do Someone Great, which is off of the Sound of Silver album. And I remember hearing this instrumental for the first time on James Murphy's 4533 mix, and the beat and the instrumentation and his lyrics, especially on the version for Someone Great, are just beautiful. Number two is Heartbeats by The Knife, but the live version off of their Audiovisual Experience album. And it's entirely different from their recorded version. And again, it's just an incredible song. Number three has a little bit of an Indiana tip to it. It is Billy Cobham, his song Heather, which is on his, not the original version, but the Spectrum Live, it was on the album called Spectrum 40 Live. And he actually recorded that album over the course of a couple years playing in jazz clubs. And the song Heather was recorded at Jazz Kitchen in Indianapolis. And I think it's my favorite song on the album. My fourth pick is one of my favorite jazz songs of all time, and that is Red Clay by Freddie Hubbard. to kind of round it all out, Snarky Puppy put out an amazing album maybe a year and a half ago called Culture Vulture, and their song Go has one of the most incredible keyboard solos. They kind of pull it through the outro, and it just, like, I don't know, lifts me up in sores when I listen to it. So be Go by Snarky Puppy.
Final reminder, you can check out Bye Bye's music online at byebyemusic.com. Definitely go there and listen to their amazing new record, Metamorphosize. Paul, thank you for the tunes. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Each week, Kyle explores the history, harmony, and humanity of Indiana music on Cultural Manifesto. You can listen online or at 90.1, Wednesday nights at 8 and Saturday nights at 10. Still to come on Curious Mix, Remembering with Music.
It was a no-brainer. Everybody knows that people love music, and what effect could it have in a nursing home? Let's go see if we can measure any data.
And a good reason to stay up late.
It's the only modern constellation named after an historic figure, not a mythological one.
I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and you're listening to Curious Mix. This story is about music and memory, community, and commitment. It gathers, interprets, and shares the data of science, all while strumming a familiar tune on our heartstrings. Curious Mix contributor Michael Atwood brings us the story of Butler University's Music First research study.
From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made.
That's Chelsea Ranowski with Butler University's Music First research study. Perhaps the only data collector in the country who plays a ukulele while conducting her research.
My name is Chelsea Ranowski, and I'm a data collector with Butler University's Music First project.
So, a data collector with a ukulele.
With a ukulele, yeah.
Put another nickel in. In the Nickelodeon, all I want is having you and music, music, music.
You see, back in 2011, the CMS,
the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services,
and that's Dr. Tim Brimmer with Butler University and the lead investigator for the Music First research study.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world.
Anyway, back in 2011, CMS told caregivers that received Medicare and Medicaid funding. By 2016, caregivers had to reduce the use of so-called black label or black box drugs. These can be dangerous drugs. They can have serious side effects, including the worst side effect of all, death. But CMS didn't just say to stop using these dangerous drugs. They also told caregivers to come up with safer alternatives to black box interventions.
God bless America.
And so every state in the United States is eagerly, desperately searching for what do we do if we can't continue with these black label warning drugs that cause stroke and death.
For Dr. Brimmer, it was a no-brainer.
It was a no-brainer. Everybody knows that people love music, and what effect could it have in a nursing home? Let's go see if we can measure any data.
Imagine a team of professors and students across Butler's campus in music, psychology, pharmacology, communications, and physics, working alongside neuroscientists, geriatric psychiatrists, and physicians Now add memory care specialists, nursing home directors, executive directors, nurses, and staff. And don't forget the residents and their families, all working together to see when, where, and how music might replace the use of dangerous drugs.
Is all that I can give to you. Love.
But how do we know it works?
So I'm Kaylin Evans. I'm the executive director here at Harrison Terrace.
Kaylin Evans loves her job.
And my specialty has been dementia. It's been my passion my entire life.
Our story took us to Harrison Terrace on Indy's East Side. An American senior community, Harrison Terrace specializes in the care and treatment of people with Alzheimer's disease and other memory-related dementia. They are also one of 15 facilities involved with the study.
That's right. And I'd be stranded here.
Yeah.
They are the most vulnerable population, I believe, in the United States of America.
I got to go home.
You gotta go home.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to have an entire building where residents can transition through a progressive disease from one series of one level of dementia to another is just truly a gift.
Nursing homes can be noisy and unfamiliar, especially for folks with dementia. In addition to exploring music's role in alleviating anxiety and stress, Music First also explores the sound landscapes of these facilities, looking for ways to use sound baffling or other measures to soften the sound of closing doors and noisy rooms. But music came first when we visited with a few residents and a team of Butler University researchers.
So it's a variety of headphones. These are for the playlist?
Yeah, for their specific playlists.
Charles, I've got some James Brown for you. I feel good.
I like that brand.
Do you know how that song goes?
Participants all have their own headphones and iPods. Butler researchers interview residents and their families to find the music that's just right for them.
We do a whole demographic background. When were they born? When are they likely to have been forming their own concrete sequential independence? Mid-teens to early 20s. Where did they live? What did they do when they were a young person? Did they go to church? Did they listen to music at school? Did they play in the band or the choir, the orchestra?
Ready?
It's an ear-to-ear smile there.
Ear-to-ear smile. We're about to put his music on. And his family...
They then develop personal playlists for these residents. The playlist can then be used during times of stress and anxiety, or simply to provide a bit of comfort and joy.
Hello.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, I'm Michael Apple.
I'm Michael Wagner.
Hey, Michael. One Michael to another.
Michael is a wiry, animated fellow, friendly to the point of being flirtatious at times.
Oh, you're beautiful.
Thank you.
Something we look for is interaction and engagement. And we have two residents here right now who are engaging with each other and with our data collectors.
He's also a big fan of the Beatles.
Headphones on him. We have an iPod playing Hey Jude.
Remember, let it run to your heart. Follow to make it better, better, better. June. My friend over here to the left side.
Who's that?
Michael.
Hi, Charles. My name's Michael.
Right. Hi, Michael.
Hi, nice to meet you.
I got to meet you too.
You were singing Amazing Grace there.
Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you.
All right.
Charles needs assistance while walking. Personable and polite, he is also blind. He uses a white cane to feel his way to his seat. A former church choir director, today he's getting his groove on with James Brown.
Charles, you were a music director, right?
Uh-huh.
So he was a music director at a church. So music has been very prevalent in his life. Okay, you ready, Charles?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
I feel good. So good, so good, I got here.
Dean, Carolyn, and Elizabeth also join the session, especially when it's time for a sing-along. Remember Chelsea and her trusty ukulele? Today she is assisted by fellow researchers Heather Johnson and Kendall Ladd. All collecting data to determine how music affects residents' engagement with the world around them, and yes, to measure how music might serve as an alternative to drugs. It will take a while to collect and then interpret this data, but Kaylin Evans with Harrison Terrace already has years of experience working with folks who have dementia. She's convinced of music's unique role in helping the special people in her care.
With dementia, towards the end of their life, rhythm is what is left.
Let's slow it down a little bit. What do you think?
And if you truly say that you're going to go out and you're going to do something for people, the one person that can never thank you because they can't remember you did something are those who have dementia.
Only ones I see dreams there.
For Curious Mix, I'm Michael Atwood.
Than anyone that you adore and love. He's all that I
we hope you've enjoyed listening to our Curious Mix of sounds and stories. Be sure to open your eyes this weekend for this celestial art.
Let's target a nearby star cluster that's easy to find, provided it's dark enough and clear enough. I'm Matt Pelser, and this is your Weekend Sky Report. Spring doesn't exactly provide the most reliable stargazing weather. Rain and moisture from low pressure and fluctuating temperatures can really put a damper on things. But if we get a clear night, sweeping east to west in the night sky this time of year is the Coma Star Cluster. The Coma Star Cluster is an open cluster of about 40 stars, the brightest of which form a V-shape that you can see with the naked eye under dark skies. The name comes from the constellation it's found within. Coma Berenices is a small constellation that includes the star cluster, and it's named after Queen Berenice II of Egypt. It's the only modern constellation named after an historic figure, not a mythological one. Now, as far as star clusters go, this one's not that big. 40 stars is nothing compared to some other popular targets. But it is close, around 280 light years away. Other bright stars we can see tonight, like Betelgeuse, Rigel, and Antares, are at least twice as far away. And yes, you need dark skies. In the suburbs, you'll probably need binoculars or a telescope with a wide field of view in order to see the cluster. Far enough outside of town, you'll just need your eyes. And of course, clear skies. To find the Coma Star Cluster, look to the east around 9:30 and find the bright orange Arcturus. From there, look higher and slightly to the right. Once you see the bluish-white V, you've found it. Binoculars or a telescope will, of course, allow you to see the dimmer stars of the cluster, making it all the more brilliant. I'm Matt Pelser. Happy sky watching.
Curious Mix is made possible in part by the Arts Council of Indianapolis. Brandon Meeks composed our music, and this Curious Mix was created by
Michael Atwood,
Terry Border,
Roxana Caldwell,
Melissa Davis,
Kyle Long,
Sarah Neil Estes,
Matt Pelser,
Matthew Sosi,
and me, Jill Dittmeyer. We'll be back again next week with more Curious Mix.